Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Look who it is. His Giants took one on the chin on opening day. Dennis is in Yonkers,
Dennis. I'm not in a good mood thanks to that. That was not a good day. But let me hit you with a couple of off-the-grid ones, and then I'll get to the baseball if you have time.
Okay.
First of all, when I did my handful of overnights, I had a couple of beauties. But I didn't have a big zoo on my board to dump them. I was, a couple of those guys got on the air. Oh, man. Maybe that's why Chernoff never wanted me back.
It happens. I don't know if Chernoff ever wanted me back either, Dennis. I had to wait him out.
But big zoo's so good. With all due respect to the other guys, I would hire him as my personal producer. That's how much I like him. Because I've talked to him when he's done Mark's show, too. He's terrific. I watched your baseball night in New York. Is that what it's called?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, watched it for the first time Monday. I saw the ridiculous promos with the shades and Mary Buckminster. And by the way, win sooner than later because he has a short shelf life. You know that.
He
wears people out.
They're aware of it. Everybody's aware of it. He got a 3-year deal. Plus, he's older now, too. It's not like he's...
Yeah, it's true. But you have the... My point is you have the incredible Sarah Langs on. I can't tell you. I used to read stuff on the Giant website and would be her stuff, like tidbits thrown in. I said, who is this woman? She's really good.
She comes up with incredible stuff.
And I admit, I'm a bit of a chauvinist when it comes to sports. I admit it. But I said, this woman is really good. And then I find out how brave she is, afflicted with ALS, the most insidious disease I think we have out of all the terrible ones. And she just forges on. I had to give her a shout out because she's unbelievable and she's great.
She's incredible.
This is not a patronizing statement. She is good at what she does.
She's incredible. I'll tell you a quick story on that, Dennis. First of all, you're obviously, your heart breaks. You hear that news for Sarah, but you're right. She could not be.
If you've ever been around that disease, I'm not kidding you. I pray for her specifically and someone else who a Dayton alum cousin of mine whose friend just passed away because of that disease.
It's horrible, but Sarah takes it head on and she's so strong and she's so good at what she does and she always has a smile on her face and there's nobody walking the face of this earth that loves baseball more than Sarah Langs. And I'll tell you something else. Omar Minaya, who is now hired by the Yankees front office, when I did shows with him on Baseball Night in New York on SNY, he would say that he wanted to hire Sarah, or that he would if he were a GM or that he tried to hire her once or something like that, but basically saying that he wanted to hire Sarah for the front office. And that, I'm telling you, doing these shows with her, she comes up with these stats and numbers. And I'm not a numbers guy at all, but she comes up with some.
I am, and that's why it appealed to me. And I read them on the Giants. They would drop on the Giant website occasionally. You know what I'd love? I'd love a 5-hour plane ride across the country with her, sitting with her talking baseball.
Oh, my God. She is the best. Are you on Twitter at all? You should just reach out to her at least and let her know you're a fan.
I will do that. I don't want to impose. She's kind of intimidating. She's that good. And you know me, I'm a ticket. Russo used to kill me for the minutiae I used to come up with, but that's the way he called it minutiae. Now it's analytics and metrics.
She did something the other day about the slider percentage of guys, and I was stunned to see that Peterson.
I saw that.
Yeah, I'm like, where does she? How does she come up with this stuff? It's unbelievable. She's very impressive, Sarah. We love having
Mark
her.
Smart and brave woman.
Yep.
You said, second thing, you said something about, I woke up in the middle of the night, I'm hearing you talk about troughs, and mentioning that you may have troughs in our beautiful park in San Francisco, which is not the case. I'm not sure if they're in the cesspool in the Oakland Coliseum. And by the way, they came up with 2-8 to beat the Angels 2-1. Here go the Angels on their way to their 75.
They stink. They always stink.
It's amazing. And you know where there were troughs? in the best venue for a Super Bowl out of the five I've seen, and that was the Rose Bowl. Halftime.
It must have been Oakland. I think I did correct myself after that night because I was like, that doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense that it would be in San Francisco, so obviously it had to be in Oakland, which would add up.
Rose Bowl had them. And halftime Super Bowl 21. I'm going out, a line out the door, but the trots made everything move fast. I said, look at this. I'm going to miss the beginning of the second half. Well, it turns out the second half is 45 minutes in the Super Bowl, which I wasn't even aware of at the time. So I got back in plenty of time. But it was the trots that did it. So I was thankful for the trots.
Interesting.
And the Rose Bowl. Okay, to baseball. I've heard you a little bit, because I dropped in on your show recently, and listening about you talk about the new rules. So, you know, I hate all the new rules, because I'm a so-called purist and basically old guy on the lawn. And I come around to the three-batter minimum. I like that one. I hate the runner on second, but you can compromise putting him on base. On the 13th, you know, play the 10th, 11th, and 12th straight up. I thought the pitch clock would be a disaster, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but it is really, really good. And I'm sure Rob Manfred didn't come up with it. One of his minions did. But
Manfred's not smart enough to come up with that.
No.
Yeah, but don't you feel like the games are being rushed a little bit, Dennis?
I heard you say about the quality of ball. Here's the thing. You're not... I don't feel that's. I thought I would feel that way, but what you're seeing is because of the rapidity of the game between pitches, you are getting guys who don't. If you've ever played ball, and we all have, if you're standing on the bat on your heels, you know, while a guy's throwing balls and it's hot and all that stuff, you're gonna get your defense is gonna be awful. The quality of ball may improve because of that. I'm amazed. Here's the one compromise I would say. I watched the WBC, Japan-Mexico. It's the only game I watched because nothing was on that night. Good game. Came down to a one-run game late. A lot of drama. I don't know how much it would play with the dynamic of the game. We could ask Sarah about that. She would know, I'm sure. But 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, shut off the clock. And you will still have that. You will still have a quick-moving 6th inning.
Right.
Because encapsulate the drama of the late innings, 7th, 8th.
They should,
ninth.
At the very now, least, my suggestion early on was that they should do it at least for the 9th inning. But then it's like, what about the 7th or 8th? But something's got to be done because you need that drama, that buildup in the 9th or in the big situations late in the game where you don't want it to feel rushed.
So you don't like the pitch clock?
No, it's not that. Look, I'm fine with a well-played, clean, crisp game. How about the fact, though, that the Giants struck out 16 times, the Yankees struck out 16 times? Like, that's not good baseball to me. Guys, teams striking out 16 times,
you think that has something to do with the pitch clock?
No, I don't. But I'm saying that even though the game was 2.5 hours, it wasn't a beautiful game to me because guys striking out all over the place.
I'll tell you what I caught on a replay, because I tried to catch on a replay because I was, you know, torturing myself at the stadium today. So I came home and I saw the one play where a strike was called on McNeil because Alonso didn't get back to the pit. Now, that's ridiculous. You have to use some common sense here. Did you see that play?
Yeah, I still don't understand it, but Alonso was taking a while to get back to the base. They called a strike on McNeil.
He was walking back to the base. You have to use some common sense when it comes to this. But I think that was Larry Vanover behind the plate, so that explains it. All in all, I can't believe how much better the pitch clock has made the pace of the game, and I don't think the quality of the game is suffering.
Yeah, I think that's really the point. There are two different things, and great call, Dan. It's always good to hear from you. Make sure you get back to us. You're right. The quality of the play has nothing to do with the pitch clock. It's two different things. My argument has always been, I don't care about how long the game takes if it's being played properly. If it's a well-played game, we've seen some of the greatest games in baseball history, you know, go into extra innings or whatever, to take, you know, 3.5, 4 hours. And I'm fine with that if it's a well-played game. I don't go into the game looking like, all right, let me wrap this thing up in 2.5 hours. If that's the case, maybe I shouldn't be watching baseball. It's like the shows on your DVR. If you've got a show that's been sitting on the DVR for a couple of weeks, you're not getting to it. That show's clearly not a priority. Get it off the season record list or the series record list. If I go into a baseball game saying, it better be 2 hours, maybe baseball's not for me. It's the untimed sport. That's the beauty of Major League Baseball. So why do I want it to be rushed? Now, if a game is played properly, pitchers throwing strikes, guys catching the ball, throwing the ball well, if that takes 2.5 hours, 220, so be it. The problem is not generally the length. It's how you get to the length of that game. Where you got guys who can't throw strikes, walk in the ballpark, guys messing around, taking their time, stressed out because they don't want to, they're afraid to throw a strike. Those lead to, you know, pitchers being changed and all that crap. Generally, they go hand in hand. Well-played game is generally played in a quicker manner. That's why I was talking about the Yankee game, because all those strikeouts just drive me nuts. But anyway, the point is, to your point, the pitch clock, and my favorite thing about it is that they don't show it on TV, so it's not distracting. The pitch clock clearly has impacted the pace of the games. Let's keep it moving. Let's go. Not as much wasted downtime. The game feels sharper. You could feel the quickness. It doesn't feel rushed necessarily, but you feel the pace. Okay, let's go here. But it's a very fine line between feeling rushed and having a nice pace. They're trying to thread the needle. Chris is calling from Beacon. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, Sal.
How are you, Chris?
Very exhausted. I agree. I'm surprised about the pitch clock, that how much I like it. One thing, though, I think for TV purposes, I think if you're just sitting there watching it, it felt actually pretty good. It felt like the pace of the game was going by quick. But like to your point, if I go to a game, I don't want to feel rushed. I want to enjoy it. I don't want to go there where this is going to be over in 2 hours and 15 minutes that I just, you know, me and my wife and me and my son, $350 on, that I have to be rushed. I want to relax. You know, I don't want to feel like it's just going to go on quick like I'm at a basketball game or something. You know, it's the only sport that's untimed. And it just, at that moment, it's just going to, I don't know if I'll like it to the game, in the game, if I go there. But on TV, it felt like it was moving along good. Like, I'm watching it, and it was 5 o'clock, and I think we were headed to the bottom of the fourth round. I'm like, wow, this game is moving quick.
I actually find myself saying, I want more. See, I'm with you. Especially when you go to games, I used to hate going to a game and looking at them and being like, oh, it's the seventh inning already? I don't want to go home yet. I love this.
Yeah. And that's where I think it's going to be the problem.
But there was way too much wasted time in baseball. You know, the pitcher messing around, waiting for the signs, going back, fixing his hat, touching the rosin bag, stepping off. Like, that crap shouldn't happen, because then with baseball, it's like you're not locked in. With this, because it moves at a good pace, you're more locked into every pitch, as opposed to it being on as background noise or getting up and doing other stuff and just having the game kind of be there for you. You're paying more attention to it.
Yeah, like, you know, the batter moves out the box every swing, and he's messing with his freaking gloves and taking the straps. And like it's too much. It was too much, too slow. But like the other guy said, like the give a strike to McNeil, because, you know, Alonzo didn't get back. He's going how far away to get back to first base? And you're just gonna they have to adjust something like that, because that can come down to like to changing the game right there. Who knows when that could happen? Ninth inning, and they're you know, calling a strike. You know, I don't know. They're going to have to mess with it. But as far as the pace goes, I think it was enjoyable on TV wise in a way. But it's day one. We have to see more.
Yeah, it'll be a while before we really feel the impact of it. I think people are excited about it. I do think it's going to end up being in the long term better for the sport as far as making the games more entertaining, more enjoyable. And I get it. I understand it. I think there are other things they could clean up as well, but that's a nice start for Major League Baseball.
And but we don't like change, so we'll have to see. But I mean, quickly on the Mets, and I have to say something about the Yankees. I have a little beef with you, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Mets, look, it was a good win, but against a crappy team. But I'm really having concern already. I don't know what's going on with Verlander. The guy didn't even play a game yet. And this is what you worry about when you're signing a 40-year-old pitcher. As far as DeGrom, he got lit up today, so I'm not really missing him right now. And but, you know, we have to I don't know, man. We're running thin now on pitching, and I hope we don't, you know, I hope something doesn't happen to Scherzer already, because he's already having conservative pitch clock, thinking maybe it's going to be a little too rushing on a pitcher that's going to suffer.
Nah,
like,
don't, you can't worry about Scherzer. He wasn't great today, but you can't worry about Scherzer. But, yeah, the concerns elsewhere should be real. With Verlander, they're trying to downplay it. Bottom line is he had to be announced to the IL on opening day. Like, that's a problem.
I know. It is a problem, and that, I really have concerns, but you know, we have to see how it goes. Now, I got beef with you from last night, all right, because you took what I was saying out of context, like I was downing this kid Volpe. Like, listen, all I was saying is, well, my point of it was, look, I'm proud of the kid for getting get the call to the major leagues. It's great for him. What I'm saying is Yankee fans are, once again, they're just overly doing it all over Twitter, everything, about numbers and this. And they're already putting him in that pedestal with Derek Jeter, and the Derek Jeter tweets, oh, you know, this is great for, you know, be a New York shortstop. And they're like, see, yeah, you got the captain already endorsed you and all this. They're doing too much. And the thing I worry about with Yankee fans is, like, you know, if you don't have that strength like a Judge has to break records and still get booed, and they mess this young kid up originally, that's my concern. Not that I think he's not going to be good or he's not good. He may be, you know, the next shortstop, who knows? But I think Yankee fans are overly doing it. Now my thing, look, Sal, I'm not a Yankee hater. You know I'm not a Yankee hater, right? You know,
I don't know about that.
So this is what I want for the Yankees, all right? I want them to do good this year. I want them to win 90 games, 100 games. I want the AL East to be over. I want them to win it.
Yeah.
I want them to win that division. I want them to make a run, Sal. This is how much I love the Yankees. I want them to get to the ALCS to once again have a rematch against the Astros.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
No.
What do you want to happen against the Astros? Go ahead.
What's going to happen is, you know, I think it's going to be a great series. All right? They're going to finally get there. You know what's going to happen, Sal? They're going to get crushed. They're going to get demolished off the top rope, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, leg drop Hulk Hogan. They're going to get crushed. Stay home again.
I knew where this was going, Chris, and thank you for the call. I knew where that was going. You Yankee hater, you. I will say that I like Volpe, and I believe he's going to be very good. Let me preface it by saying that. But the hype here is getting out of control. It's always annoying to me. I don't care how good the player is and what sport it is. It's out of control. Like, let's just let the kid. It's not fair to Volpe himself. You could be excited about him. You could say you have high hopes for him. But my God, it just doesn't end. Putting too much pressure on him. I think he's going to be able to handle it. I think he's going to be good. But let's watch it play out before we anoint. Robbie's calling from Lenox. Good morning, Robbie.
Sal, good to talk to you. How are you?
How are you, Robbie?
I'm good, man. Congratulations on all the success, you know, the overnight and TV and everything, man. So,
thank you.
Anyway, all the best, man. I know how much you've worked on this all the years when you were a producer, when I used to talk to you with Steve. Listen, you know, I want to talk to you about the Yankees first, then I'll mention the Rangers, because the Rangers ticked me off like to no end tonight. But let's start with the Yankees. Yeah, I know the hype about Volpe, and you're right about playing it out and so forth, but I got to tell you, honestly, it's not good baseball when you watch teams strike out 32 times. Now, here's my question. Was it the fact that it was, you know, two very solid pitchers on the mound, obviously guys that are aces of their staff? Was it the cold weather? Is it just a fact that Major League Baseball players don't put the ball in play anymore? They're always trying to hit home runs. Maybe Cabrera today swings too hard. All these guys swing too hard. And about the pitch clock, Sal, I absolutely hate it. I understand that there's some positives to it and so forth. The reason I hate it is because, to me, it's like making an excuse for young people and millennials that don't have the attention span. Like, what are we going to do with golf? Why do we put golfers in golf carts? Make it 12 holes. It's like, I don't mind it. It's a methodical sport, you know. Nobody complains about a five-hour tennis match. Nobody complains about a car race, you know, that people that are into car racing for 5 hours, okay? So that's my issue with baseball. A player should be smart enough to speed the game up by themselves without all the dilly-dallying. That's just my feeling. As far as the Rangers go, can you show up tonight? It's the biggest game of the year. I mean, look,
I was not. Look, Patrick Kane is one of my all-time favorite players. He's a great player. He's not what the Rangers needed. The Rangers are too much of an East-West team.
Oh, I mean, Robbie, come on. They lost one game to the Devils, who were good. They lost 2-1. You're going to start picking the Rangers apart now?
Wait a second. Hang on a second. Okay. Here's the deal. All right. Okay. I'm going to go back to the 94 season. Okay. I'm going to go back to the trade deadline when the Rangers felt and Keenan went right to Smith. And he said, listen, we have too many guys that are East-West guys. We have too many guys that are soft guys. They have no net front presence. So the only team that, the only line that forechecks with any.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Consistency is the fourth line. The kid line was pretty good the other night. They're playing Columbus. The thing is, you have to have some commitment to defense. The Rangers back up over their blue line. They do the same thing. They have the same habits. They overpass. They throw too many East-West passes. How many times do you watch Panarin give the puck away and turn the puck off? They had 20 turnovers against Columbus. You got to clean this up. I mean, Igor can't stand on his head every night. I just feel like Tarasenko is a great acquisition, but you didn't need Kane and Tarasenko. They would have gotten more out of a guy like Ryan O'Reilly. If somebody down the middle, they're just not good below the goal line, Sal. That's my problem. Against a team like Carolina, they get knocked around. And against a team like the Devils that aren't big, the Devils outplayed them tonight. They worked harder. There's got to be a commitment from the top six forwards of this team to work harder. Panarin's back-checking, and nobody's back-checking. All these guys are fading back. You have to have some commitment to forecheck. And I'm hoping that the Rangers will watch the tape and say, listen, guys, we got to play ball to go to the goal line. I mean, Kreider disappears half the time. Panarin doesn't want to play in front of the net. Kane doesn't want to back-check. You can't be like the, you know, like describing to Eddie before, the pinwheel and extravaganza with the Charlestown Chiefs. I mean, you can't just play up and down pond hockey. You've got to commit to being a two-way player. And I just feel like that the Rangers don't have enough top six or not. You know, Beacon's a very good two-way player, but the rest of those guys, to me, don't play enough two-way hockey. There's not enough. They play so much in their own zone. They run around their own zone. And it's habitual. It's been going on all year, despite their success. I just feel that there's other teams that have built more good players.
I mean, all right, that's fine. I think they're, and thank you for the call, Robbie. I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. How about that? So you could go over all your stuff. This is not 1994. The game has evolved. The game has changed. It's not the same way that it was before with enforcers and all that nonsense. And they tried that, you know, a couple years ago or last year even. You had a chance to get Patrick Kane. You take it, even with Tarasenko. They lost by a goal on the road to one of the best teams in the NHL. It happens. It's not going to be easy. The Rangers are right there, though. With Igor, with the weapons that they have. I mean, their four lines are solid. Better than solid. But I'm saying 1-4 is solid, where there's no weakness. 877, we'll continue with your calls on the other side, whatever it is you want to discuss on this Friday morning. 877-337-6666, Sal Licata on the Fan. I don't usually bring stuff like this up, but I got to do this. There is a video that I just saw from John Boy Media tweeting out a little while ago that, did you see this, Zoo? A proposal at the Dodger game at Dodger Stadium? God. Did you see it or not?
I have not seen it.
Dude. You got to see it. Go to John Boy Media. I mean, I don't think he was the originator of this, but I saw it from him tweeting it out, or from John Boy Media, whatever the company tweeting it out. So some guy, some idiot, hops the rail or whatever at Dodger Stadium. You saw it?
I'm watching it.
You're watching it?
What a dweeb.
Dude, so this guy...
Oh!
Yeah! There you go, Zoo! You guys got to see this. This guy jumps the fence, goes onto the field, runs out there, gets down on one knee, and proposes to his girlfriend or whatever. First of all, it's just a lame move to begin with. Second of all, you're doing it on the field, you idiot. Like, you're not allowed to be there. So he jumps on the field, which you know what happens when you jump on a field. He gets down on one knee, goes to propose, and the video is showing the guy on his knee. It cuts to the girl in the crowd, cuts back to the guy on his knee, who's sitting there with a smile on his face, one knee with the ring out.
Happiest moment of his life.
Happiest moment of his life, and then boom! Closing speed from one of the security guards who put a lick on that dude. I'm talking perfect form, textbook tackle, almost maybe leading with the head, but he destroyed him.
He would have definitely got a flag on that play, that security guard, for sure.
Oh, my God, it was so great. That guy, he should be hit like that. You shouldn't run on the end. Security guy's just doing his job. This idiot pointing to his wife. Oh, here we go. Down on one knee. What'd you think was going to happen, you dummy?
I love that, though.
Oh, did you see the security guy out of nowhere leveled him? Dude, that's a ferocious hit.
Great hit.
Anyway, you guys got to check that out. It's hilarious. 877-337-6666. Paul's in Hamden, Connecticut. What's up, Paul?
I can't. I'm still laughing, dummy.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, hey, come on. This is like 2023.
You're not getting away with it. His hat goes flying off. I mean, he got drilled, this guy. And he deserved it.
Of course. I wonder if he's still going to get married to him.
Yeah, right. I guess it's a memorable story, but, I mean, my goodness.
What are her parents thinking?
I just saw another angle of it. Oh, man. I love the buildup and the people in the stands. You know it's coming because you see it, but yet this guy didn't even feel it coming. He just got drilled. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I mean, I've been a fan for a long time, so. I mean, well, they lost by one goal, and you are spot on. Four lines, all right, Igor, all right. And how about this? How about the beat Carolina last year, right? They were one game away from the conference finals against Tampa, and they only got better this year. Igor performs like he did last year. I mean, we're going. And like you say, you talk about the kid line, and there's no kid line no more. They're in the upper 20s. They're doing good. And the fourth line is the checking line. And, I mean, we got Kreider. We got Panarin. You know who we got. And I know the last call, he's like, oh, we're so negative about the Rangers. And, by the way, I was at the Stanley Cup Finals in 79 when they played Montreal, right? And they won game one, they lost four in a row. I sat 4 or 5 in the blue seats, and I've been a Ranger fan that long. And I totally agree with you. This is the year for the Cup, you know, and I really do. I've been watching them from day one, and I'm telling you, I hope to God that this is the year because
They're long overdue. I do feel, Paul, I'm not just saying this because I'm a Ranger fan, and thank you for the call. I really feel like this is the year. They have all the pieces. You can nitpick their game all you want, like Robbie and Lennox did. They have all the pieces. Shesterkin could be the best goalie in the game. If he does that, they are going to be tough to beat. No, Devils got him last night. Look, anybody, the Devils, the Bruins, the Canes, they're all going to be tough to beat. But I really do believe the Rangers, over the course of a 7-game series, I mean, look, Boston, how can you sit here and logically pick anybody to beat Boston? They've been by far and away the best team in the league. Hard to logically pick them. But you know what? Sometimes sports results are illogical. I'd be terribly disappointed if the Rangers, you know, they went all in to win the Stanley Cup. I just get the feeling they're going to do it because they've gone through adversity this year. They've added the right pieces. Shesterkin's gone through adversity. I really feel like this could be their year. Carol is in Pearl River. What's up, Carol?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
How are you, Carol?
Good. You hanging in with the double dip today?
Barely. I mean, I gotta admit, I'm on fumes right now, and unfortunately, I got 2.5 hours to go.
Okay. Well, I was at the Met game today, out in Miami.
Oh, and are you still there?
I'm in Florida. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. Yep. So, and I just want to let you know that that was one of the biggest crowds I had. Steve Cohen was there with the 7 line. Steve Cohen came. Hung out for a few minutes down the right field line. It was 2,000 of us there, and pretty much outnumbered their fans 2-1.
Yeah, I saw it. You could see on TV Steve Cohen hanging out with the 7-line army and all the Met fans and all that stuff. So, we know the Marlins fans aren't packing that ballpark.
No, not at all. Not at all. Nope. But I wanted to tell you about Sarah Langs, what the other caller said, I just want to echo everything he said. Great to see her on when she's on Baseball Night in New York. Smart girl, gracious. Love to hear her give it a stack.
Yeah, she does a great job with the numbers, and thank you for calling, Carol. We appreciate you taking the time to give us a call. She does a great job with the numbers and, you know, brings a different perspective to the panel. So it's always fun having her on. We appreciate you watching. Yeah, I wish I could have gone down there this weekend in Miami. I haven't been to that ballpark yet. This would have been a good opportunity to go. I just can't. There's too much stuff going on at home. I went to Port St. Lucie a couple weeks ago, as I've talked about many times here. So to tell my wife, and I actually tried to get my wife to go down, but we couldn't. It just couldn't make it work. With the baby, we'd, you know, have to take the baby down, and then the baby doesn't really do well at the games. It would have been nice. Zoo, why didn't you go down to Miami this weekend? You could have had a blast down there. A little Mets, Marlins. Have you been to that ballpark?
I have never been to that ballpark, no.
Yeah, it's such an easy trip, too.
I know. It's just, you know what it was for me? It's just behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Everybody's in Vegas this week, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's right. The John Jastrzemski bachelor party has everybody off.
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah.
Are you doing doubles and stuff? Are you...
No doubles, but we're just, you know, we're
making it work without everybody.
They need me.
So who are we down? Fleegs?
Fleegs.
Loogie?
Rosie.
Rosie.
CeeLo.
Right. And that's it?
I think Riscona's here today, but I think he's leaving today.
Okay.
So he's gone essentially this weekend.
Okay. Wow. That is going to be some crew out there.
Oh, bro. And then plus, I mean, everybody else. I think McKeon might be out there.
McKeon, is he in that group? He's friends with JJ?
Yeah, he's buddies with JJ. I think they know each other from the Staten Island world.
Wow, okay. Yeah, all right. So we need you here, Big Zoo. I know, but
always need me.
Man, Miami, it would have been a weekend. I need to just check that ballpark off my list. And why not opening weekend against the Mets? Now, if I go this year, it's not going to be against the Mets because I don't think they play the Mets on another weekend coming up. They don't, right?
I don't believe so,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But, I mean, here's the thing, though. If you go at a different time, you're going to end up being able to get in there with, I don't know, like 4,000 people. You're going to have the whole ballpark to yourself, bro.
That is a good point. And I don't really, even though I go to all these different ballparks, I'm not following the Mets to all of them. If it happens to work out, great. But I could just go there. I'm not going for the Mets. I'm going to see the game, the ballpark. I'm going to see the different ballpark.
Exactly, and especially since it's Miami. Like, listen, Oakland, they get terrible attendance,
right,
too, so you'll have a whole section of yourself. But in Miami, it's a fairly new ballpark, so you're going to have decent amenities. Like, I would go there even if the Mets weren't playing.
Yeah, maybe just take a weekend. And that's a spot. See, the reason why I thought it was a good spot, too, is because my wife would be open to going to Miami. It's just with the baby, it makes it a little more difficult. And plus, truth be told, that I spend 90% of my time working. Well, you do the math. Are you good at math, Zoo, or no?
I'm pretty good.
All right, so there are 24 hours in the day, right?
Yes, sir.
So let's play this game here. 24 hours in the day. If I am sleeping for 6 of them, we are down to what?
18.
Okay, so far so good. If I am then working for, let's see, if I leave my house at 2 p.m., working includes the commute, because I'm just talking about out of the house.
I think that's a fair point, by the way.
Okay, so from 2 p.m. till 6 a.m., you know how many hours that is?
That is 16 hours.
Okay, so that leaves 2 hours that I am home times 5, because that's 5 days a week, right?
Oh, man.
Is it 5 days or is it 4 days? Anyway, because if I do Friday, usually a little tomorrow after, or today, later on, I have to work later. Because, you know, I got the BNY stuff. So Friday night, generally, not this week, but generally, I get home at 8:30. So that's...
maybe save a couple hours there.
But roughly, let's just say 2 times 5. What's the math on that, Sue?
You get 10 hours.
Right. 10 hours a week, Monday through Friday, with my wife and daughter. Now, in those 10 hours, you are not factoring in gym time, which I kind of like to do because it's important for me to be physically, mentally healthy. And my wife will say, you're worried about yourself. You need to. Well, yes, I am, but those are 2 hours that I should be spending with them. The other thing is I also have to get ready. Haircut, shave, shower, all that stuff. So you're even dwindling it a little bit further. Point is, if I'm away for all but 10 hours, Monday through Friday, there's no way I can justify going to Miami to see a ball game on the weekend. There's just no way. I mean,
no
divorce,
shot.
Right?
Yeah, that's got to be a trip you're taking the wife down to. You got to bring the whole family on.
When it's broken down like that, you see the full picture.
Oh yeah, it's a brutal one.
There's no way around it. Like, it's bad enough as it is. So generally the weekends are dedicated to my wife and daughter. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. We'll continue with your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the Fan. Scott is calling from Buffalo, New York. What's up, Scott?
That stadium, Marlins Park, real nice. And I'm a Met fan. I root for the Tigers also, but I was down in Florida visiting my relatives in the suburbs of Fort Lauderdale. I went down there. I saw Scherzer pitch, actually, for the Nationals. There was nobody in the park. I sat three rows up behind the plate for $20.
Yeah, you realize you go across the country and go to some of these ballparks. Now, the Marlins may be even cheaper than others, way cheaper than others. But it's totally different than it is in New York when you go around to other cities.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the cost.
You're paying a big fraction less than you're paying in New York. But the reason I'm calling, so we can't find these owners and general managers beg for starting pitching. You get to 90 pitches, everybody is up in the bullpen. You walk 200 plus innings, you're considered a workhorse. And when it comes to mechanics, these guys are a quarter of an inch off. You could blow out a rotator cuff, an ACL. What are we doing with a shot clock? It's like a shot clock.
Yeah.
It's like when I used to watch the Knicks when Reggie Miller would be trying to shoot one at the buzzer, and I'm smacking my head for a 24-second violation. This is crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but to me, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment with the pitch clock. It didn't impact, or at least, I know the one play with McNeil and Alonso, I didn't feel like it impacted either the Mets or the Yankee game, the two games that I watched. Even I watched a little bit of the Texas Rangers and Phillies game. I feel like it had a significant impact. And we're talking about it. It's a talking point. I know the broadcasts talk about it a little bit. But I hope eventually it just goes away and it's less noticeable or less impactful as it may seem now.
Now, what's going to happen to the one pitcher who actually, gets rushed a little bit and blows out his arm or something? The manager, the GM, everybody and his mother is going to be upset about this. This can't end well. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, the fact that you're right, the fact that you would, they do all that they can to protect pitchers, and now they're going to rush the pitchers with this pitch clock. Eventually, if somebody's not ready, and maybe force the issue and wants to get that pitch off, he gets hurt. Yeah, maybe it'll turn into a problem. I can't imagine this. The repetitiveness, the quickness of it is healthy for a pitcher, right? I mean, you'd think longer time in between pitches should be healthier, I would think, to preserve the arm.
Yeah, you would expect that because, your arm needs to, not wind down, but it needs a couple of seconds to react again to, getting back on the mound and throwing another pitch. I mean, is there going to be bench? Do the players actually see the clock? I mean, is that going to be an issue? Like, are fans going to be seeing the clock at Yankee Stadium with Sales on the mound?
Yes, if you go to the games, I believe there are two clocks in center field. I guess all ballparks are probably different, but they were talking about it today, that there were two clocks in center field and I think one or two behind home plate, so the players can see it. The batter's got to be able to see it. The pitcher's got to be able to see it. The broadcast crews could put the camera on it, but it's not going to be aired on TV. And when you go to the game, you also can see it, depending on where you're sitting, obviously. If you're sitting behind home plate, you could see it out in the outfield. And if you're sitting in the outfield, you could probably see it by home plate.
Well, here's another question. Can the managers challenge how long that takes to get a pitch off?
I don't believe so.
Because that could call. You could have a bench-clearing brawl with gamesmanship right there. Somebody gets, ticked about, thinking that's not right. And you could have a problem. I'm just thinking of things that could go wrong. I mean, this is a real fine line here. Like I said, there's not enough good pitch. You can't get a quality starting pitcher in the major leagues and free agency for less than $10 million.
Yeah.
Now you're putting a time limit on these guys. This is this could not end well.
Right, like trying to speed it up a little bit. You're right, Scott. That's the one thing, and thank you for the call. That's the one thing that could be a major problem if somebody gets hurt because he felt like he was rushing it out there. But you would hope that if he felt to that extent a pitcher was rushing to a point where he might get hurt, you would hope that he just wouldn't throw the pitch. Take the ball and move on. You know, the ball and, as the count goes. Dan is calling from Colorado. What's up, Dan?
Hey, so, Sal, I had called once before, told you about getting Dave Veers, the guy that hit Jay Payton in my basement. And, you know, two things that came up today. I listened to Turk Wendell on the Mets podcast, and, God, you know, he's also another local guy. What a great guy. But watching the Met game today, all of a sudden on SNY, you showed up on a commercial wearing these sunglasses. And I have to tell you, even me, who's seen you before, was like, wow, those look perfect on him. And I'm a man about 210 pounds, mm-hmm. bald guy. What were those sunglasses?
I honestly don't even know. My uncle bought them for me.
You can't do that. You can't. I called in because I need to know. I thought they're not Oakleys.
No, they're definitely not Oakleys. I mean, I'll try to get the info for you. All I can tell you is where I got them. My uncle bought them for me while I was visiting him, not last year. Last March. When my wife and I went down there with our daughter, hung out with my uncle, and he bought me those glasses. We just happened to see them in some kind of like shop down the street in Fort Lauderdale, and we were trying glasses on, and he bought them for me. I don't know what make they are or whatever. It was just some kind of, I don't think it's too fancy or whatever, and that's it.
Well, all I can tell you is I've spent $300 on ski sunglasses. I love that. They were great.
And they were like $50, and I use them every day.
Oh, my God. Okay, so please just remember, I listen to you all the time. I think you're great. Please just remember to. I will hear it if you say it. But one other, I left the Met game today just not feeling like so like impressed. I am a huge Met fan. You come to Colorado, you want to notch Coors Field off your list. I'm the guy to get in touch with.
I did already, Dan. Where were you? Yeah, a few years ago I went there. And I went to Red Rocks, too, just to hang out and see the venue. No concert.
I saw you two do a bloody Red Sunday there. But you know...
I don't know what that means.
You two.
Oh,
when they
you
two. Yeah. Under Blood Red.
I thought you were saying, like, talking about me and Zoo. Like, I saw you two have a bloody Sunday there. And I was like, what is that, something?
If you were with Zoo or Lugau, I would have been in heaven.
Yeah.
But, are you feeling ready for the match?
I'm ready. Dan, here's the thing. Okay. You gotta be excited about this team. I get, and thank you for the call, and I appreciate the support. If I remember, I'll try to figure out what make those glasses are. But it's just a style. You could find glasses that are like that, the bigger style, I guess. Anyway, the Mets are a good team. That's what I was reminded of today. Despite the ending last year, they're a good ball club. One of the best teams in Major League Baseball. Even with the Diaz injury. Even with the bad news about Verlander and having him go on the IL. Mets are a good ball club. They're going to be in the postseason. They're going to win a lot of games. And they're going to improve their club at the trade deadline because the owner will spare no expense. So you should be excited about it. Jimmy in Jersey City, what's on your mind, Jimmy?
What's up, my man, Sal?
You enjoyed your opening day in the Bronx?
Of course. I told you.
Yeah.
We'll get off tonight's start like we did last year. Hey, you do know that Marlins Park was built on top of the old Orange Bowl, right?
Was it?
Yes, it was.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it was. I used to live right down the block.
I think I might have driven past the old Orange Bowl once or twice.
Listen, when you go down there, you don't want to stay in Miami. You want to go to either a half hour to Fort Lauderdale or a half hour to South Beach with your family.
Well, Fort Lauderdale is not a half hour, is it?
Yeah, from right where the Marlins area is, a half hour each way, either South Beach or to Fort Lauderdale.
The Marlins don't play in downtown Miami?
Nope, they play in the old Orange Bowl. They're playing like in almost the business district area, you'll see. It's got old big, tall buildings like Manhattan down there.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's my stupid phone.
I used to live right down the block when I was a kid, and that's how I became a Dolphin fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, I figured that as I heard you say that you used to live there. I was like, oh, that's how I became a Dolphin fan.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want to stay in a Miami area at all. But anyway, you had a call before, so I just want to answer him. You know how I am, being a Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, sounds like you're a little jealous that Beatty and Alvarez didn't do what Volpe did, and you're a little jealous there. And Chris, if the Mets would have won one more game last year, you would have won your division like the Yankees did, and maybe next year, this year, you might win more than one game in a wild card. Maybe you win two, and then you'll get eliminated again, Chris.
But and then you wonder why. Yankees. Then you wonder why, Jimmy, why Chris hates the Yankees.
Well, I had to answer. No. See, that's why Yankee fans hate the Mets.
Well, why he didn't? He didn't call you out. He was just saying he hated the Yankees. Nope. That's his problem. That's not yours.
Well, but I'm a Yankee fan. You know how I am. I got to stick up for my Yankees.
Yeah,
I'm stick up for you.
Well, I mean, what do I need sticking up for? What happened?
Well, you know, in case anybody bothers you. You know,
well, I appreciate that.
I know Zoo's a big guy. I'm a big guy, too, but I just helped you out.
You got my back, all right? I appreciate it. And maybe I'll have to hire you for security detail at some point.
When are you doing the Meadowlands again?
Good question. I don't know. I was actually thinking about that today, and thank you for the call, Jimmy. I was actually thinking about that today because the draft is coming up in April. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they're doing a draft show again. But I don't know if that's going to be the case. So I'm sure you'll hear about it on the air one way or another if, in fact, we do one of those draft shows. But that was last year we did the show from there. Remember, too, the Jets and Giants had top picks. That is not the case again this year. So I doubt it, but that was the reasoning for it. Anyway, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. We're going to do some baseball coming up on the other side with Adam Burke of VSiN. So we'll go around the major league, see what's in store for this upcoming 2023 year now that we have opening day in the books.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.